Do we have anybody in here that has gone fishing before? Or if you haven't gone, do you know people that have gone fishing? So, you'll understand that we might have a common response when I say this. Once, when I was fishing, I was in this little creek, probably not more than 6-7 feet across, and there was this little bush hanging over, and I had one of those Rapalas, those little fish that floats on top of the water. And I bought a little pole about that big so I could throw it in my car and at any moment I could jump out and fish. And so I had that little pole and I had that bait and I threw it under that bush. And this big fish caught it and I started pulling on it, and it was much bigger fish than I had caught on that pole up to that point. And it was fighting and I was pulling on it, and I was getting nervous about it all, and all of a sudden, the line snapped. And the creek wasn't so deep that I couldn't see. I saw the fish, and it was big. And I saw it swim under another bush. And not really knowing what I was doing, but thinking, that bait cost me $5. That's what I thought. I started walking up towards the fish like I was going to corral it. I don't know why I was doing that. I didn't have clear thoughts about it. But I thought, I want you to give me back my bait. And so I went up to it, and I kind of corralled it underneath this bush. And for some reason, I took my pole. Again, none of it made sense now that I think back on it. And I took my pole under there, and I wiggled it around. I don't know if I thought I was going to try to get it to jump on the bank or what. I wiggled it around. And when I wiggled it around, what had happened was when the line broke, all that extra line came and bundled up at the end of my pole. So that when I stuck it under there and swirled it around, it went and got caught around all those other hooks. And all of a sudden, I felt that fish. I caught that fish again. And so this time I drug it up on the shore and I pulled it out and I took it off and nobody was around. And then I was so excited that I got my bait back and I caught that fish and I ran back to, and I was a pastor at that time, my first church. And I ran back to town and I started telling people, and I'm the minister in town. That's supposed to mean something. But when it comes to fishing stories, they all kind of did the same thing. Their eyes rolled back in their heads. I thought they were going to get some kind of migraine or headache from that. And they said, did anybody see it? Right? Did you get a picture of it? There's something about fishing stories that both intrigue us but also make us nervous. This fishing story is one of those that if there hadn't been people around, people might have even been suspect of Jesus telling it, right? Here were these fishermen. They had been out there all night. They were professionals. They knew what they had been doing. They had been out there for hours upon hours. And then they're cleaning out their nets. And Jesus comes along and gets onto the boat so that he can get some distance to speak to the crowds because the crowds were so big. And so he sat there and he did like a little sermon, and then he thought, well, I'll ask him to go fishing again. Now that would be like me going out into the parking lot this afternoon and seeing you with your car hood open and me walking over and going, well, I think your carbonator switch needs a wire cut turn thing, and then you should put that tool thing on it, and that's how I would tell you how to fix a car, because I have no idea how to fix a car. And they probably thought, here's Jesus, who's a preacher and all this, and he's telling us how to fish. But the interesting thing was they did it. They did it. And they caught all these fish. There's something about fishing stories that kind of caught my imagination this week as I was thinking about this. Because they're the kind of stories that represent other experiences in our life where they ask us to go up to the edge of what we've experienced and even what we believe and ask us to examine something that's unknown again. That's why they're so tricky, right? Because they ask us to step up to that edge and think about what might have happened in a world or in an experience that we've never had on our own. And that can be very nerve-wracking and suspicious. It sort of makes sense, though, because when we think about the water, that's that, you know, the unknown world. Jungian psychologists call that that represents the unconscious, and that most of our behavior that we live out and most of our beliefs are built actually from things in the unconscious that we might not even know are there. And so water and oceans and rivers, all that represents that world that we don't know. So fishing stories brings us to that world that we might not know. A lot like religion and spirituality. The other reason why fishing stories can be so difficult for us to experience is because a lot of crooks and shysters and liars and people that are easily manipulated get into them. The fish grow bigger and the number grow larger. And we have this experience where we're looking at something brand new. And that's part of the problem, honestly, with religion today. Is that there are so many people that have heard the topic and the subject of religion being picked up by shysters and crooks and liars and by people that are so easily manipulated by their own desires and hatreds and discomforts that they trade what they're experiencing with obviously what God is experiencing. And over, we're called into this world that we're not always comfortable with, to imagine what the truth might be if it's something different than we've experienced before. And God's Spirit has always been calling the church to do that. We read in the Bible about God sending that vision to Peter saying, you know, bringing down the animals that had been unclean, marked unclean in the Old Testament, and the voice saying, rise up, kill and eat. And that was God trying to move Peter into a new space to say, look, I understand that this is what you used to believe, but now we're moving along here. We're in new waters. In the church, we've often had to deal with these, and quite frankly, the church has often been too slow or on the wrong sides of topics because we've taken experiences and things we've learned from the past, and we've never forwarded them. We've never listened to the new stories about the new things in the new waters. And so we've had to deal over and over with issues about women in the ministry or how we baptize or how we take communion. We've had the whole topic of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people come up in the church. We have the whole complicated situation around what does a family mean? And we keep bumping into these new stories, these new worlds, and the stories and the situations might feel uncomfortable to us because we've heard about this story in the past or this story, or we've never dealt with these issues before. But the stories keep coming to us. To use this metaphor, God keeps sending the fish into our nets to pull up and to deal with. What does it mean to be a community that says we follow a still speaking God, but yet we get hung up on topics that we can't deal with or move on with? It's fishing stories. There's a book called The Bible Tells Me So. It's out of print now, but it's a really interesting book because it looks back on history and looks at every kind of controversial topic, from slavery to Jim Crow to interracial marriage and all those things. And it gives passages on each side that people had used for each of those issues. And it's interesting to look at how people have dealt with those topics as they've come up. They're kind of like the fishing stories, right? Because they're new and in new waters, and they've brought different Bible passages to it. So it's easy to do that. And so what I wanted to talk about today was this idea of being the kind of people that can hear these stories, be in these experiences that are new to us, and not automatically out of hand cast them aside or ignore them, but be open to God being able to teach us and lead us in new ways. Because if we can't do that, it doesn't really matter if God is still speaking, if we won't listen or we won't move. One of the tasks, I think, of dealing with issues is being able to bring them into, and one of the gifts is being able to bring them into the community for people to share their experiences with us as we try to figure something out. That's why I asked the kids to pass this thing around. Do we have any better insight from people as to what this might be? What was that? The middle of a cup holder. Now, how did you figure that out? So he helped you. Did you help her see the shape of it? Is that what you? She saw the shape. That's absolutely right. And that absolutely proves my point, as I was hoping it would. That sometimes when we have these experiences that are new, that are maybe stretching us, that we haven't gone through before, part of the gift that we have as the body of Christ is to be able to bring it into our midst and to hear from each other as to what might be going on. And that is truly a gift, my friends, because no matter what kind of life we've lived and how much we've experienced, we haven't experienced it all. And our brothers and sisters sitting next to us and in front of us and behind us have had experiences and have seen fish and have seen waters that we have not, and they can help us understand things clearer. That's why it's so important during this time of the interim period, and as we're talking about the next pastor and we want to talk about where we want to go as a community, that's why it's so important to hear from all of us, because all of us might have a part of this story that, if we don't share, won't be heard. One time, my two brothers and my dad and I went fishing. And in our family, when we went fishing, there was always a prize. We didn't get anything for it other than bragging rights. But there was a prize for whoever caught the first fish, the biggest fish, and the most fish. And so we went out one day on the little boat, and where I think it was Deer Creek. Went out to Deer Creek, and we were fishing. And for my brothers and for my dad that day, it might have as well been what they were saying, you were just out there drowning worms. Me, for some reason, I was the fisherman. Almost every time I cast out, it seemed, I caught a fish. I caught the first. I caught the biggest. I caught the most. And we put it in one of those little baskets, you know, where the lid and the top flips down, and you put it down, and we hung it on the side of the boat. And the camera was in the car, so we were going to take that basket back to the car, and I was just so happy, and I just felt for sure that I was the best male child and male in that family at that moment because of this fishing experience. And as we're taking the boat back to the dock, the thing that was holding the basket came off, and the basket went into the water. And I went diving kind of after it, not into the water, but with my hand, I couldn't catch it, and it sunk down. And I was so upset. My brothers laughed. I think I hit them, or I swung at them. And they laughed. And I said, but you all know I caught the biggest of it, you know, like went over the. And they're like, no, we don't remember that, right? There's no proof. And my dad, I could tell my dad was kind of upset, and I thought, well, why is he upset? And finally I asked him, I said, well, what's wrong? Because he hadn't won the award, it didn't matter that way to him. And he said, well, I was just thinking that that basket fell into that water, and that all those fish aren't going to be able to get out. And then I thought about that, and I started getting sad. And he said, but you never know. He said, there's a thing on the bottom that lifts up to let them out. Maybe when it hits the bottom of the lake, it'll fall on a rock, and that little latch will open up. And I hung on to that. And I thought, maybe it might be so. You see, my friends, the stories and the experiences that we have are that rock to lift the latch to let our stories and our experiences of God out. And we need to feel comfortable in sharing them, and we need to create the kind of community where people can share them and not feel ashamed or sad or rejected. For this is a community of fishermen and fisherwomen and fisher kids. And we eagerly seek out the stories and experiences of God and invite others to do that with us. Amen.